Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I am happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Let's continue with my teaching titled The Fruit of the Born-Again Spirit. This teaching is an in-depth study of the book of Galatians chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listener, you may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated, but unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior if we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a godly example of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. I began this teaching on August 25th, 2021. So if you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or you would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We were examining the sins of the sinful nature, as listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, when I ran out of time. Let's complete our examination of the sin of everyone is wrong except you and yours. I will reread our definition from the New Webster's Dictionary and remind you where we should look to for our answers to life. Everyone is wrong except you and yours. Wrong means not right, not according to rule, wish, design, or the like. In the New King James Bible translation, these words are translated heresies. And heresies means opinion profoundly at odds with what is generally accepted, a teaching contrary to the truth. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, the act must be in accordance with God's word, not what society says is right or wrong. Because we know that Satan is running this corrupt world system, and he has deceived the world to be his tools of destruction. So we must not follow the leading of this corrupt world system if we want to be successful in life. The scriptures tell us that Satan is the father of lies, and it is Satan that causes misinformation and misunderstandings of the truth to keep man from experiencing God's best. Let's read from God's word what he has to say about heresies. I will be reading from the New International Version Bible, NIV. Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2 say, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." Let's go on to Galatians chapter 1. We'll read verses 6 and 7. Galatians 1, 6 and 7 says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." Family, we have to be so aware of what we're listening to and what we're putting into practice. And if we want to know the truth, we need to search the scriptures to determine if what we are hearing, what we are seeing, is godly. So keep that in mind as we review the sins of the sinful nature. Let's also read from 2 John, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. 2 John verses 7 through 11 say, "I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully." Verse number 9. "Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching based on the Holy Bible, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work." So family, we are commanded by the Word of God to look and pay attention to what is being said and then examine it according to God's Word. This way, we will never be confused. We will never be fooled to following deceptive ways that have been orchestrated by Satan himself. All right, let's continue with the next sin that's listed in the book of Galatians chapter 5, and that is the sin of envy. Envy means discontent or jealousy, excited by the sight of another's superiority or success. a feeling that makes a person begrudge another his good fortune, resentment, malice. Here is my personal experience with envy and how Satan came against me. When my husband and I were living in California, we were licensed to minister by our then church home. One of the assignments that the church leaders gave us was to minister in the juvenile correction facilities under the Los Angeles County Probation Department. At that time, all volunteers wishing to minister to the youth had to participate under a chaplain's organization that had been given the responsibility to oversee such volunteers for the county probation department. Both my husband and I got cleared in 2002 and began teaching Bible studies at one of the juvenile halls. I knew immediately that the Holy Spirit wanted me in this place because I had such love and compassion for the youth, both the boys and girls. After a few years of faithful volunteering, the chaplain in charge of the facility that I was ministering at asked me if I would like to move up to the position of a religious counselor. I agreed to participate in the training after praying and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. I truly found this counseling work gratifying because each counseling session was one-on-one. I was truly happy and excited about this ministry assignment that the Lord gave me. I could see that the youth were being blessed and encouraged to walk according to God's word as a result of our counseling sessions. After 10 years of continuously serving the youth under this organization, several chaplains retired. The executive director at that time took note of my work and faithfulness and invited me to be part of the leadership team for this organization. I have always enjoyed administrative work, and I knew I could be a great help in processing applications and dealing with the many volunteers. The executive director, who was ready to retire, was so pleased with my work that after just a few months into my new assignment, I was asked to be part of the board of directors and promoted to the acting executive director. However, we all know that when we make a decision to follow God's word and to share the good news of Jesus Christ uncompromised, we are going to get opposition from Satan himself. My situation was no different. All the same, to some extent, it blindsided me because of the people, so-called Christians, who came against me and my promotion. Unbeknownst to me, once I was given this acting position, one of the assistant directors, who had more years of service than I, became jealous and angry and started an evil campaign against me. He told those chaplains that would listen to him that I had stolen his rightful promotion. I now know that he was envious and allowing Satan to use him to divide the organization. He was so deceptive that he quietly enlisted several chaplains who lied and brought up false charges to have me removed. This evil assistant director went so far as to try to take over the whole organization by filing illegal forms with the State Department to place himself as executive director. I was so stunned and felt betrayed, as some of the chaplains that he recruited were individuals that I had trained and promoted. All that I could think of was that what happened to Jesus and how he was betrayed by one of his own disciples and crucified by the insistence of his own people. I prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to give me guidance on how to handle this matter. Early on one of those prayer occasions, I heard clearly from the Lord that no matter what happens, he had the last word in this situation. And whether I stayed or left this organization, I would be at peace and satisfied that I had done my very best to bless the people I had been serving for many years. God reminded me that above all, I was doing this work unto him and not man. For a similar event that's recorded in the Bible, please go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. I was giving him of my time, gifts, and talents, and if they did not appreciate my many hours of hard labor, that it was their loss and my gain to rest after 12 years of faithful volunteer service to the organization. Now you know that Satan had his say and tried to convince me to take these disruptive volunteers to court and fight for my well-earned position. Satan wanted me to continue the division and discord among the brethren that he orchestrated through this weak, sinful Christian who desired praises from man and not our Heavenly Father. Satan wanted another opportunity to show the world Christians fighting Christians. Now, for a similar event, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 through 7. But I refused, and when this misguided group asked me to leave the organization, I stepped down without an argument and turned over all my keys, work files, and reports to them in peace. Here's a final word on this matter. Whenever we serve in the church or some other ministry assignment, make sure we are doing it to please our Heavenly Father, not looking for a position that draws light on ourselves. Envy is a deceitful sin that can cause havoc in the church and divide loving Christians who want to do right. Now let's read from the Holy Bible what God has to say about this sin. I will be reading from the New International Version Bible, the NIV. Please turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 through 33. Proverbs 3:31-33 says, "Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his, God's secret counsel, is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just." Let's continue in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 30. It says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." A sound heart is the life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Let's go to Proverbs 23. We're going to read verses 17 and 18. Proverbs 23:17 through 18 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous, enthusiastic for the fear or respect of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and our hope will not be cut off." Amen. Let's continue with Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 24, 1 through 4 says, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through godly wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Amen and amen. Let's continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up." If we as Christians say we are abiding by the love of Jesus, then envy has no part in our lives, and we must choose not to envy. All right. The Word of God commands us to love one another. And in fact, Jesus told us that we would be known to be his disciples because we operate by love. This is the only commandment we need to keep under the New Testament. When we love others as Jesus loved us, we will never cause pain or suffering on others. Christians, keep that in mind when you represent yourself as a child of the Most High God and how you treat others. All right, let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 3, we're going to read verses 3 through 5. Titus 3, 3 to 5 says,
For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He, Jesus, saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Families, yes, we have been down those ugly roads ourselves. But as a result of our salvation in Jesus Christ, He has washed away all that sin and put it in the past. So don't resurrect that sinful man. You stay focused on your salvation and the work that God completed in you through Jesus Christ, and be a living example of how Jesus operates and how He treats others. That is our marching orders as Christians. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk found in the Word of God, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Now, I love this passage because it lets us know that we are in charge of our emotions, our thoughts, and actions. Because verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of any kind." Not God, but we must do it, because we have a free will. And even as a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, we can choose to do wrong. But it's not necessary, and it's certainly not for our good. Satan uses betrayal, hatred, slander, envy to cause division and strife among the church. So you choose to do what God called us to do, and that is to crave pure spiritual milk, which we find in the Word of God, so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, let's continue with the next sin listed in Galatians chapter 5. It is drunkenness. And drunkenness means intoxicated with strong drink, having one's mental and physical faculties impaired by excessive drinking. Before I came to Christ, I used alcohol, specifically margaritas, to get high and often found myself drunk as a result of excessive drinking. I'm not proud of my sin, but I think it is important to acknowledge the truth and put Satan to shame. As a result of my drinking, I often instigated quarrels and strife with my husband. My thinking was not straight because Satan often put thoughts of jealousy in my mind that encouraged the fights. After sobering up, I was not proud of my bouts of anger, but I chose to continue drinking, even with experiencing the hangovers. A year after getting married, I rededicated my life to Christ, and John and I joined Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles, California. Finding this awesome church and studying the Bible under Apostle Price was God sent. Within the year that we joined the church, I made a commitment to volunteer at the church and proceeded to find out how to join Helps Ministry. I soon found out that I would have to go through a morals interview and attest to the fact that I was not living an ungodly lifestyle, which included victory over any addictions for at least 1 year. At this point, I was sold out for Jesus, that I promised myself that I would never drink alcohol again, so that I could volunteer for the church after my 1 year victory. Meanwhile, I went through our home and poured out all of the alcohol down the sink and stayed away from those places and individuals who like to drink alcohol. I wanted with all my heart to have this victory. I'm happy to say that not only did I complete the year, but I have never looked back. It has been more than 25 years since I took a drink of any kind of alcohol, including wine. I'm not saying that I was not tempted to drink. I am saying that I never yield to the temptation. I often quoted Matthew 26:29, where Jesus told us that he would not drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when he drinks it new with us in our Father's kingdom. This gave me hope and fortitude to stay strong and away from this sin. The outcome was a great blessing to John and myself. Not only did my marriage relationship improve, but I was able to volunteer at my church until John and I left the state to move to Kansas City to start this ministry. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Now let's see what God's Word has to say about the sin of drunkenness. I will be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. The NIV. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I'm out of time. Please come back next week as we continue our study of Galatians chapter 5. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.